I want to share this idea with you. It occurred to me, actually it didn't occur to me, I saw just a line in Rav Shamsa Rafael Hirsch where he notes that, but this was a chiddush to me gave me some thought, and I'd like to share that with you. From a pedagogical standpoint, isn't it strange that Mishpatim precedes Truman to Tzaveh? Right after Aseres HaDibros in Yisrael, we get to Mishpatim, and then we get to Truman to Tzaveh. Seems to me that by the time we get to Truman to Tzaveh, after we've solved all the problems of the Shoah and the Boyer and the Mava and the Heva, so it's a new sugya now, by the way, oh, you have to build a Mishkan. The emphasis is that logically, and I think from a pedagogical standpoint, wouldn't it have been much, much, much more appropriate to have the Truman to Tzaveh right after Mamet HaSinai? I mean, Mamet HaSinai, you saw the Rebbeinu Shlalom Kiviyochel of the Koilos of Rokim and the Koilos Shofar. It's too tzachav, the Rebbeinu Shlalom comes on HaSinai and communicates with the Yidden. This was an unbelievable experience. So wouldn't it have been a wonderful idea to tell the Yidden at that moment and say, look Yidden, here, you come and you're frightened now and you want that this shouldn't be perpetualized and it should be Moshe talking to you, not the Rebbeinu Shlalom directly. I understand that this face-to-face Kiviyochel meeting with the Rebbeinu Shlalom is a very taxing kind of experience. It's not an easy thing to live through. I understand that. But, wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it wonderful to be able to have such a kirva to the Rebbeinu Shlalom? Didn't that sort of lift your life beyond anything that you ever suspected that it is possible? You know what? We can perpetuate that. I want you to build a Mishkan, and in that Mishkan there's going to be Hashros, Hashchina, and so on and so on and so on, where you can fill in the gaps. But that would have been a very, very, very sort of an excellent move straight from HaSinai into the Mishkan. Befrat, I think the Ramban says later that the coil which Rebbeinu Shlalom communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu from Ben Shnei HaKruvim on the Oron was the continuation of the coil of HaSinai. So the most natural thing in the world, Rabbi, I'm sorry, I never thought of this, but it's so nice to sort of feeling privileged to be able to say this shiurim, because it makes you think. And I just never noticed this, but the emphasis, the most natural thing in the world is that the tzivri and the Mishkan should follow hard upon the heels of Mamet HaSinai, and instead of that, see, that puts a sort of a spin on the first Rashi in Mishpatim that Eile is Pesel HaRishayna is V'Eile is Mechaber. Yeah, that so the V'Eile HaMishpatim is a continuation. Ma'elu B'Sinai, Avis B'Sinai, these are also B'Sinai. Like, that gets a much broader sort of context when you think along these lines. In other words, the Kashi over here is, just a moment, why is it V'Eile HaMishpatim? Why is it Nemro B'Sinai? Why is it Nemro B'Sinai? These Mishpatim of Nezikin, we all know what Mishpatim is. So why is it Taka over here? Doesn't it break the normal connection between Mamet HaSinai and the building of the Mishkan? I don't know why I never thought of it, and I don't know if some of you are listening. Did you ever think of it? I don't know. We take everything for granted, and I guess it's good in a way, because it becomes so much a part of our living. This week is Shabbos Parshas Yisro, and then comes Mishpatim, and then comes Truma, and then comes Tzav. Ah, it's Moyodik. And you begin to feel that Purim is around the corner, Pesach is around the corner. We've got this, the rhythms of Jewish living, and it's just fine. But on the other hand, as fine as it is, it sometimes stops us from thinking the way we ought to think. And it's a one-liner in the Rav Shamsa Rafael Hirsch's Perush. But it's a liner which packs a lot of wallop. It has, why Taka is Mishpatim before before Truma Tetzaveh. Wouldn't it have made sense to say to the Yidden, listen, yeah, I'm going to give you now a means of perpetuating your memory of Mamet HaSinai. That's going to be the Mishkan. That would have been great. And then for later on, there's time still to tell us about an Eved Ivri, or there's time still to tell us about the Negizlos of Ashar. Let's finish the sugya first. There's no doubt in my mind, thinking now the way I'm thinking, there's no doubt in my mind that Truma Tetzaveh, the building of the Mishkan, is a Hemshach Yosha for Mamet HaSinai. That is perpetuating Mamet HaSinai. And you have the Orain, and you have the Luchos, and you have the Rabbeinu Shem Miben Shnei HaKeruvim. That is Mamet HaSinai. That is the perpetuation of Mamet HaSinai. Nusa, then why come in the middle with Mishpatim? So v'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. It's not just sort of a cursory review of some of the things that you learned in Cheder about Shoy and Abay. Yeah, tosim lifneihem. That is needed. Ma'elu misinai, just like the yesoides of Yiddishkeit. In other words, what is really being said over here? I don't know whether I'm right with this, but what is really being said over here is that the Shoya and the Baya belong into the Aseres HaDibros Ke'ilu. I think that there's a Re'em over there, that he even says that the Mishpatim were also said Bekoilos of Rokem. Now, I don't think the Maral goes that far, and that there were Koilos of Rokem by the Mishpatim, but he explains that the Mishpatim do belong to Mamet HaSinai. I've mentioned this in past years. I don't want to take the time in this year now of explaining what the Maral says or why the Mishpatim belong by Sinai. But apparently they do, and that Vov is a Megadik of Vov, that it's telling us that really this is an addendum to Mamet HaSinai. Onoshi Hashem Elokeinu Asher Zasichu Meretz Mitzrayim V'yigach Sho'ish Eshoy Re'eyu. What's going on? What is really going on? What is Mishpatim doing over here? It seems very, now that I'm thinking about it seems very incongruous. Maybe you people are not troubled by it, but I am. It's just pedagogically speaking, I don't think that it's so move-on. And I've mentioned before, I think, in one of the shiurim I heard once, Rav Reuven Feinstein telling about his father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that there was a movement in New York. The rabbis and the various yeshivas who taught Hascholas Gemara came up with a suggestion. Nowadays we learn Eilu Metzias or we learn Hamafket. Well, as one of these program we tend to learn for Hascholas Gemara, and the kids, it's not part of their regular life. They don't have never seen an ox in their life, so they should know about the Abba was Nazik and Shoya, Boy, Mave, Heve, was it us? It's no part of their experiences. Let's learn Tfilas HaShachar with them, and they know what davening is, and they know what Kriyas Shema is, and they know what Hashemayin Esra is. Let's learn those prokem. So Reb Reuven said over that his father called a meeting of all his rabbis, and said, by us we're not going to make any changes. We are going to stick to the Minhag Yisrael. And he says, why? Because the most important thing that we can teach our children is that what belongs to Reuven doesn't belong to Shimon, and what belongs to Shimon does not belong to Reuven. Let's make them into Eilei Chayyim. That is the most important and most pressing need. And Klal Yisrael has gotten on fairly well with Eilei Metzias, as Hascholas Gemara, so we're going to stick to that. The emes is, I just noticed, I don't know why I came across the sugya. You find it quite often. Yeah, Mona Li Biyotcha. Reuven comes to Shimon, says, Mona Li Biyotcha, $100. So, alright. So, we're used to all these things already, so we don't question it. But the emes is that there's a tahomistic difference. There's a tahomistic difference between the English and the Loshna Kodesh, or the Aramaic. That in English, you owe me money. Yeah, not that I have property lying by you. Like Mono Li Biyotcha is a much, much stronger, more aggressive kind of tvir than is you owe me money. Yomim money means, look, you know, your bank account. I have no business rooting around in your bank account, but just wanted to remind you that you owe me some money. It's your money now, of course. I'm not saying that the money that you have in your bank is not yours, but please remember that some of that is owed to me. But Monoli Biyotcho is saying, I have money by you. And if you owe me money, it's ki'ilu that you have my money lying by you. And that is, I looked up, Evet Loiveli Ishmalve and Mishle, and behold, what did I see? I saw Mamish Moshe Shtikl Torah. Because the pasuk immediately before Evet Loiveli Ishmalve is Chanosh Lena'ar al Pi Dako, Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yosem Imenu, that's in Perek Chof Beis. And then the very next pasuk is Oshir Beroshem Yimshol Ve'Evet Loiveliish Malvet. Be mechanech the na. Maybe Rav Moshe said that. I don't know. I don't remember that. But that's not the Nafkumina. Nafkumina is that you see that Shlomo HaMelech perhaps had this sense also in mind when he says Chanoch Lena Al Pi Da'akol. Now what can I tucker? Be mechanech my child in the best possible way. I can be mechanech my child in the best possible way by teaching him that Evet Loiveli Ishmalve. Later on, you're going to go out and you're going to earn a living. Be sensitive to people. If you have the money and if you are able to lend people money who need a helping hand to get over a certain situation, that's a wonderful source. But remember how the guy feels, and be bent over 500 times backwards, not to make him feel in any way that he's taken Evet Loiveli Ish. That should go in, you don't go into the house. The Torah is so sensitive about these things. And that's stuck in Mamash. I don't know whether in Mishle you can dash in such smichas. It seems I've never been able to figure out why a certain sequence exists in Mishle. But Dafka over here, we have it Mamash the way we need it. Chanoch Lena'al Pi Dako, Evet Loiveli Liish Malve. So it turns out that Mamash, what Rav Nishon did in his Torah, that immediately after Mamet HaSinai, instead of going straight into Truma Tetzaveh to help us perpetuate the experience of Mamet HaSinai, instead of doing that, what does he do? He teaches us the Mishpatim. It's like a Maimonides. There are a couple of Rambans over here. There's one at the end of Yisrael, towards the end, two of them are in Mishpatim. The Yachas between Leisachmoed, the last of the Aseres HaDibros, and Mishpatim. So in one place he says, because now that you know that you're not supposed to covet Leisachmoed, that in the Beis Re'echo, that you're not supposed to be jealous of the other guy. Oh, he's got such a nice house, I wish I had that. He's got such a nice wife, I wish I were married to such a nice wife. Once you are nischanech and not feeling that way, you're going to be careful not to damage your friend. So it's logical to have Mishpatim follow on Leisachmoed, because in a way Leisachmoed is the antidote to damaging people. If you're not jealous, you're not going to damage. Now that's Emma's, in a way, a big chiddush to me. I mean, why? I mean, if I drive carelessly, I'll bump into your car and I'll dent it. I mean, what's that got to do with not being jealous of you? I'm not jealous. I'm perfectly happy the way I am. I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, and it doesn't matter so much whether it's this year's model or last year's model. The gate man is done, but that doesn't mean to say that I'm not going to drive carelessly. What does the Ramban mean? We'll have to understand that in a moment. Then later on in Mishpatim, the Ramban says, "Oh, you need to know what belongs to Reuven, what belongs to Shimon, in order that you should know what you shouldn't be chaimed." That's another reason why there's a smichus hapashas here. You tell me not to be chaymed, okay? But if it's mine, it's okay for me to be chaymed. If he's holding on to my thing, I can perfectly justify it in wanting it back. So we need Mishpatim to tell you what belongs to Reuven, what belongs to Shimon, so that Reuven will know, oh, this I'm not allowed to covet, and that I am allowed to covet. That's another reason for the smichus. And then the Ramban says another thing, that if you're mekayim the strictures of leisachmoed, so then you're not going to mind paying when you damage the other guy. Like this, you know, you made a dent in his car, and you know it goes today, and you take the car in to fix a dent. Yeah, you don't get potter with less than $250 or something like that. So normally people wouldn't want to spend so much money, and it's pretty annoying. So you have to fix your dent, and what's going to be if you have a car with a little dent in it? So I wish I say gefeller. Oh, so the Torah says leisachmoed, and if you're going to be mekayim leisachmoed, then you're not going to mind paying for the damage that you do. I mean, these are all ideas, these three ideas, one of them in Yisroel, the other one in the beginning of Mishpatim, which the Ramban the throwaways from the Ramban of what the Smichus HaPasha is between leisachmoed and Mishpatim. Now the Emes is that Gufa is a Mokram Ian, if you're learning the Aseres HaDibros, that's something to think about, that by the other nine Dibros we don't find that the Ramban comes along and says, well, why is this one here and this one there? I mean, there are ten Dibros, so why do you have to find an apology for leisachmoed? That leisachmoed is here because you won't want to damage, and because you'll be happy paying for the damage that you do, and you'll know what is yours. Yeah, it's part of the Aseres HaDibros. What do you have to apologize for? It could be that while I'm talking now, it seems to me that it could be that is also a sort of an answer to the question which I've been asking, and that is why is Mishpatim over here? Again, pedagogically, it seems to be like this, such a waste. Wouldn't it be much nicer right after Mamet HaSinai to tell me about the Mishkan? Like, why do I have to get to all these details, these very, very mundane details? You're dragging me down from the top of HaSinai Ki'ilu to the stable, and to tell me, and be careful when you if you're smoking while you're on the farm, you know, you may make a fire, and who knows, a motzo kaitzen, you could be in deep trouble. I mean, all right, you tell it to me half an hour later, but in the meantime, tell me that Mamet HaSinai is not a one-time experience, but it's something that I can perpetuate in my life through the Mishkan. It's really an interesting child. Maybe all of you have thought about it. I never thought about it before. But the Teretz is, I think, that like in these Aseres HaDibros, I mean, especially the Rambans. On the Aseres HaDibros, you see a very, very interesting thing. Like some of you have been listening to these shiurim for a longer period of time. There was one year where instead of going in the Seder of the Parshias, after Yisrael, we went through each week for 10 weeks, we went through one each Dibro per week to understand the context of the Dibros. And what I wanted to say is that the Ramban in many of the Dibros comes out with ideas which wouldn't have occurred to us. By Leisirzach, the Ramban is Masber over there, like, what's wrong with Leisirzach? We would say, you don't need any apologies if you tell me you're not supposed to murder people. I think that most of us were never bothered, like, what's so bad about murdering people? We understand that murdering people is nishvin gute Sach. But Ramban has, you know what, because you're taking the Rabbeinu Shlalom, he created this person. He created this person, and now you're cutting his life off, and you're denying the Rabbeinu Shlalom the nachas that he wants from this person. Now, why do you need that? The Teretz is, I think, that the Ramban is trying to show us in each one of the Aseres HaDibros the broader implications. If some of you ever saw the book I wrote about the Aseres HaDibros, V'ovi Eschem Eloi, I brought you unto me, had a book which I tried to work through the various Aseres HaDibros. And that is, you know, the conclusion that I reached, that the Aseret HaDibur, as when they're not 10 commandments, it's not true, because going to the Rambam, there are 14 mitzvahs in the Aseret HaDibur. But without even being technical, these are the yesoides of Yiddishkeit. So I explained it to myself that the Aseret HaDibur are like the constitutional yesoides of a Mamlechus Kohen and a Goy Kodesh. Their significance does not only lie in their mitzvah status, so in that they're a mitzvah like every other mitzvah, but it's the constitutional underpinnings. You want to know what a Mamlechus Kohen and a Goy Kodesh looks like. You want to know what a Mamlechus Kohen and a Goy Kodesh looks like. I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like this, that when people live with the Aseret HaDibur, you've got the general outline of how a Mamlechus Kohen and a Goy Kodesh lives. Of course, there are many more mitzvahs and there are many more things you have to do and to refrain from doing. All that is true. But the basic underpinnings of such a society are the Aseret HaDibur. And therefore, by Lo Sirtzach, the evil of Lo Sirtzach, you have to think in a broader sense. Not only that you're cutting a life off before it should have been cut off, and you're denying this person the right to live, but you're also denying the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a broader picture. You're kviyochel denying the Ribbono Shel Olam, this person whom he so lovingly created. So it seems to me that what the Ramban is doing over here, like why he is working so hard to ki'ilu apologize for why Mishpotim follows Leisachmoid in such a blatant kind of way. And as I say, once we allow ourselves to think, at least I know I experienced it that way, maybe you experience it differently, but this concept of what are these Mishpatim doing over here, let's get on with the Mishkan already. So the Teretz is because there are broad, like I say, constitutional issues which are tied very, very, very closely to Mishpatim. And therefore Mishpatim, I mentioned before the Re'em, that it could be that the Mishpatim were said with Koilus of Rotem. That's unbelievable. And you tell that to the kids when you're teaching, if you're rabbis, when you're teaching Avos and Zikin, whatever it is, bring some Koilus of Rotem into the Beis Hamedrash and let him hear how important these halachos are. But even if we don't go so far as to say that they were koilos of rokim, these are constitutional yesoides. Why are they constitutional yesoides? Everybody understands that if I have an ox, I have to make sure you shouldn't go another ox. And you need some kind of a system, so this is the system. There's a Kshola and Chatzin, and they're like, what's so yesoidistic about these things? And is the psychology true, which the Ramban is saying, that if I'm not going to be jealous of you, I'll also be careful not to damage you? And even stranger, if I'm not going to be jealous to you, I'll be delighted to pay you if I damage you. Like even though it's going to hurt quite a bit, the bill is a choshev bill, but that's fine, I'm not jealous of you, so therefore I don't mind paying you. Like, what is really going on over here? Are these things psychologically true? The Teretz is that I think that Leisachmoid Taka leads absolutely into Parshas Mishpatim, and if I haven't noticed that before, or those of us who haven't noticed it before, it's only ourselves to blame, in the sense that we don't think enough. We're very, very superficial. Mavis Sedra, everybody's supposed to be Mavis Sedra, and Elchiyin and Mavis Sedra. But on the other hand, you know, you like to get through it fast because you've got to get on with the sugi, you've got to go, it's Mavis Sedra. It's not such an exciting thing to do for some of us. But it also encourages superficiality. We learn it twice, and then Targum, finished. Now I can get on with the real stuff. Yeah. So there are aspects of Kriyas HaTorah, of learning from the Torah, which tend to encourage a sort of a very superficial kind of approach to learning. What is taka? What are the underpinnings? Forget about the Ramban. This practical nafkumina, this practical nafkumina, this practical nafkumina. Aber was steht? What does it mean? Leusachmoid and Leusisave and Voischanan. That's these are different stages in Chimut. That's a different story. But what are was steht da? And the emphasis is that it seems to me. I wrote that in one of my books, I think, and I think there may be some validity to it. That Leusachmoid, as the last of the Aseres HaDibros, is a parallel to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the first of the Aseres HaDibros. In other words, they both have enormous weight to them. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's the aside of everything. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ashreit Sisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And Leusachmoid says to us, Kinderlech, yeah, if you've been listening to the nine Dibros which preceded this, yeah, Leusachmoid sums it all up. Leusachmoid sums it all up. And you know what Leusachmoid tells us? Leusachmoid tells us, we all know the Ibn Ezra's kashya. Ibn Ezra asks, how can I stop myself from wanting your stuff? You can tell me don't steal it. That makes a lot of sense. But I don't want it. How can I control my wants? How can I control once I like it? Like, you know, I'm driving an old jalopy and this guy comes driving past with a brand new Lexus and I wish I had it. Like I spent some of my best hours of my life waiting by the mechanic to see whether he can fix this squeak or that squeak. And this guy comes bowling by with his Lexus and is having a great time. So I wish I had it. What's so terrible about that? What's terrible about that is that you're not thinking Jewish. That's what it is. The issa here is not don't be jealous. Jealousy is a bad midah, and I'm giving you one of the sayers of Ibras, don't encourage that midah. Or if you have that midah that you're easily jealous, I'd like you to eliminate that. Get it out of your system. That's not a nice way to be. That is not what apparently Leusachmoid is telling us. Leusachmoid is telling us something completely different. And it's telling us, Yanko, have some sefer, yeah? You remember Anoshe Hashem Elokecha? Asho Yitzisichu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ve'eis Avonim. Do you remember that? Right? What does that tell you about your life? What does that tell you about the Ribbono Shel Olam? What does that tell you about the way the Ribbono Shel Olam cares about you? So just spend a moment. You're driving a 9-year-old jalopy, and your neighbor is driving the brand new Lexus. All right, fine, two given. Yeah. Now what? What does that say? Does it say to you anything about the Ribbono Shel Olam who took you out of Mitzrayim? Yeah, it tells you something. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mashgiach. You probably learned the Ramban at the end of Boy, how all the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim point to. Attributes kviyochel of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is a caring God, and you know what? If you have a jalopy and he has a Lexus, it's because he needs a Lexus and you need a jalopy. What's it like to you? It shouldn't come up on your screen at all. Like what nafkamina is there? What car he drives? The ikka is from your point of view is that you don't have it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want you to have it. You don't think that if the Ribbono Shel Olam would have wanted you to have a Lexus, that he could have gotten one for you also. Let him order another one. And he'll give it to you. They'll stand next to each other out in the street, and everybody will ooh and ah. What a beautiful area this is. Everybody's driving Lexi. Right? So the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want you to have it. So what's it negeir to you that he has it? In other words, we're talking about a hashkofa over here. We're not talking about the nastiness of a jealous nature. It's nasty. But it's not nasty, more nasty than, let's say, Leusikom and Leusita. And they didn't make it into the Aseres HaDibros. But Leusachmoid did make it into the Aseres HaDibros. So why did Leusachmoid make it into the Aseres HaDibros? Poshut, it made it into the Aseres HaDibros because that is what the Aseres HaDibros are all about. You don't see what's going on in the other's cholent. It's not nageya to you. You have a relationship with the Rabbi Nisham. That is a reality in your life. Three times a day, you daven. If you're a man, you put on tefillin. If you're a lady, your heart is your tefillin. And you connect with the Rabbi Nisham ideally, if we would daven the way we should daven. Yeah? And he's the reality in your life. Shachris, Mincha, Ma'irif, Kriyas Shema L'Amita, Moide Ani Lefanecha Melech HaFarifeyam, Shechazatu V'Nishmosi B'chem Lo, Rabba Emunasecha. That is the life you're supposed to live. You're focused on the Rabbi Nisham. He is the only reality in your life. Can you explain to me whether it makes enough gemina, because this guy had a big chasna and he had a shmog and he had a this and he had a that you have to do the same as Shukas? Yeah? Is it nageya to you? You're afraid the Rabbi Nisham won't listen to you by mincha because you missed the shmog? Because we are all so strange, and that is really what's going on over here, and that is why it is chiyuni that they should learn mishpatim right away and not truma. Truma can wait, but oxen can't wait. They're in the midbar. Each one of them is walking around with herds of donkeys and herds of oxen and herds of with tents and getting in each other's way, and this is reality. They just now got Aseres HaDibros. Exactly 2 minutes later, Bimshocha Yovel gotten Heimo Yalu Baha. Yeah, it's over now. So now the reality of my life is a stupid ox, and if it gores my neighbor's ox, I've got to know what to do, because what did Leisachma told me, let's trace Tucker what the psychology is. The Ramban said that if you're not chomed, you'll be careful not to damage. So we asked, well, why? If I'm a careless driver, I'm a careless driver. Yeah, but you won't be a careless driver, because what will be your mahalak of thinking? I'm not jealous of him. Why? Because since I don't have it, obviously I don't need it. But the corollary of that is, but since he has it, he obviously needs it. So how can I damage him if I'm going to go and damage his property? So that thing which he needs, and which the Rabbi Nishwar and Kiviyocha was doyek that he should have it, I have now smashed it. I wanted it done. I'm ruining his whole life. He needs his Lexus, and I damage it. So what am I? Yeah, that's a terrible thing. So if I'm not chomed, that means that I've got enough maturity in me, enough Jewish maturity in me, not to be chomed what the other guy has, because it's not negair to me, and it has absolutely zilch to do. It simply doesn't come up on my screen. It does not come up on my screen because it's b'chlal not nageya to me. But then the corollary of that is, but it is nageya to him, so how can I damage him? And the same thing is with paying. Of course I want to pay. What did I do over here? The Rabbi Nisham gave him this thing and I damaged it. But he needs it. Well, the next best thing I can do is right away I go and write out a check and say, here, please, this is the money, I'm terribly sorry, please be mindful of me, and I should have been more careful, but please do me a favor, go out and replace it or whatever it is. The one who gave it to you, you need it. That is, I think, what is going on over here, and it becomes unique to know what's mine and what's Yanim's, the other thing which the Ramban says. I've got to live. I'm supposed to be now Mamlechus Kohen of the Goy Kodesh. The Rabbi Nisham just gave me his Aseres HaDibros. If he gave me his Aseres HaDibros, so I need to know them. I need to know them immediately, and I need to know them in detail, and I need to know them carefully, and I need to learn the sugyas, and I need to learn Chashim Mishpat. I've got to have all these things, and I can't wait now for the Mishkan. The Mishkan I can build tomorrow. But to know now what am I going to do with my ox when I come back to my tent finally after Matan Torah, that is chiyuni. I need to know it now. Kiilu like if the Rabbi Nisham would have taught us Shabbos and right away he teaches us the dinim of Kiddush. Kiddush is the most important thing in the world. Why don't you teach me? I don't know. After Lorecha, Kamaicha. The terrorist is because Shabbos is coming in and I need to know how to make Kiddush. So life is coming in and I need to know how to live life. I need to know how to relate to my neighbor. And so I think that these are the yesoidas which we should come away from. And now after Mishpatim, so we'll get into the Mishkan. We'll have enough of the Mishkan. Tum, Tzaver, Yakel, Tikudas, Tut, Tzachav, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. It's Mamchish Kviyochel, the Rebbeinu Shem in our midst. But there's something more important than that, and that is that I should live with my neighbor in a Jewish way and know what's important and know that I can't encroach on his tum. It's a meiradige gesagt, and it's not bad pedagogically, it's wonderful pedagogically. It's a kinderlich. I told you just now that you're supposed to be Mamlechas Kain in Vekoi Kodash. Learn Elo Metzias. Don't listen to the brochus people who say better learn Tfilas Hashachar. Nein, learn Elo Metzias. Get acquainted with Reuven. Get acquainted with Shimon. Realize that Bailus is Bailus, and you'll become an Elo Yitzchak.